Good day and welcome to the BioTest 9 months results 2020 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I would like to turn the conference over to Monica Butkereit. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. A hearty welcome to our today's 9 months conference call. I'm here with Michael today, who's happy to give you an overview of our current status today. Please, Michael.
Yeah, thank you very much, Monica. Indeed, it's a pleasure for me to say also a warm welcome to you all. I'm really happy to have you on the line, knowing that you're interested and continued interested in what's happening with BioTest and how we are doing here, especially in those hard times of Corona. I personally hope that you and your family and friends are all doing well and are far, far away from any COVID-19 virus so that we can close the year, you know, in a healthy and good mood, because there are only a couple of weeks left for 2029. But now we concentrate on the results and performance of BioTest in the very first 9 months of the 2020, and I jump immediately to page 4 of the presentation, because I guess most of you are also interested in what's going on with BioTest, especially in those times of Corona crisis. As you may have heard from our former press releases, we are active with two R&D projects in order to help in this crisis. We are developing two medical products in order to treat COVID-19 patients, and we will come to the details and to the status of such products in a minute. On the sales and marketing side, our people, of course, are confronted with the situation that they have very limited access, physical access to customers, clinics, and doctors, because, of course, as all, we all are probably pretty cautious and trying to reduce our contacts, and that's also true, you know, in the day-to-day business of our sales and marketing people. So the direct approach to our customers is restricted to digital channels and social media and things like that. But, you know, if you are a real sales guy, this is not really satisfying, so they are all keen to get back to normal way of selling and marketing our products. Additionally, we are facing a situation right now that due to the increasing number of COVID patients in hospitals and on intensive care units, that there is a postponement of surgeries, as we had seen it already in the early summertime this year. On the production side, we have been able to avoid any discontinuation of our production. We have, without disruption, continued the production of our plasma protein products. But, of course, you know, due to special safety measures, it has been slowed down a little bit. And sometimes where we had to send home people, you know, working on the shop floor, the number of team members wasn't big enough so that we had to postpone one or other batch. But, you know, in principle, we are almost fulfilling our production plans as we had them planned for 2020. On the plasma supply side, more important, of course, we have seen a strong drop in plasma collection volumes in March and April when the crisis hit us for the first time very hard. People were not certain if it's, you know, if they are allowed to go to the plasma collection centers or if they would be exposed to a higher risk of getting infected. But I think together with the authorities, we could show and prove that, you know, going to the plasma collection centers and donate plasma is a safe thing to do. And so starting in May, you know, our normal regular donors came back to us. And as of today, I can report that for our centers in Germany, Hungary, and in the Czech Republic, the plasma collection volume is almost at the level or on the level before Corona has hit us and has caused this first reaction in March and April. So good news here in Europe. In our own plasma collection centers, we are continuing to collect plasma. Plasma, as you know, we need for producing our plasma protein products. And with this more general statement about our activities and situation in the Corona times, I would now immediately go to the numbers on page 6 of our presentation. where you can see that compared to the 9 months in 2019, we had an increase, a stunning increase in sales of 16% to €341.6 million. And you will see in a later page, a couple of seconds, you know, where we were able to increase our sales activities most. We have, of course, to deduct operating costs and expenses and end up with a negative EBIT, earnings before interest and tax, of -7.8, which is still a little bit lower than the -8.2 we had experienced in January to September 2019. Financial results at taxes had to be, of course, paid as well, or had been shown here with a -24 in 2020 compared to the positive 5.3. This is a huge swing, and most of that is contributed to the valuation of ATMA shares. Those of you who follow us longer know that we had been a stakeholder in ATMA Biologics in the United States, but had been forced by CFIUS to sell off those shares as well. But some shares are still in the ownership of our trustee who holds those shares for us. And due to the actual share price performance of ATMA, we hadn't decided to sell them off in the low time point. But compared to 2019, we have a negative impact on the valuation of such ATMA shares. So earnings after tax resulted then in an almost -32 million loss compared to the -3 million the year before. When I stressed the increase in sales, so in revenues by 16%, you'll see that this increase has also a very positive effect on the what we call adjusted EBITDA, which means the earnings of our regular business, the business we have with our existing products. And to come to such earnings number, you know, we just have to eliminate all the costs we have to bear for our BioTest Next Level project. And if you add back such 59.3 million, as shown on page 7 of the presentation, to the -7.8 million loss, EBIT loss, reported at the end of September of this year, you come to the adjusted EBIT, mean the EBIT which we achieve by our existing current recurring business. And here we see a 51.6 million euro result, which is 20% more than the 42.6 million we have achieved last year. To see where we spent the money for in the BioTest Next Level project, turn please to page 8 of our presentation. You see that alone the facility cost, the cost to run the facility as it is right now, costs us in the first 9 months of 2020, 27.8 million. On top of that, we have, of course, to conduct the clinical studies, continue to conduct the clinical studies for the three BNL products, as we call them, IgG Next Generation, Trimodulin, and Fibrinogen. And those R&D expenses accumulated to 31.5 million euros in the first 9 months of 2020. So altogether, we invested into our future, in our CapEx, in our capacity expansion program and product portfolio expansion program, almost 60 million euros in the three quarters of 2020. Getting back for a second to the sales development, you see that we have been able to increase our revenues, especially in East and South Europe, with a plus of 27.7% to 78.7 million, coming from 53.8 million in 2019. And also we have seen a very nice increase in Middle East, Africa, and France, where the revenues went up from 62.5 million in 2019 to 77.3 million in 2020. In this Middle East and Africa and France region, we had also been able to increase our toll manufacturing activities, so that has contributed to the almost 24% increase in revenues in this region of the world. Looking at the balance sheet, nothing has really occurred, you know, in the structure of the balance sheet compared to end of December 2019, so that we still have an equity ratio of almost 40%, which is quite solid and satisfying for us. Turning to page 11 and to the cash flow from operating activities, you see that the operating cash flow of the recurring business is, of course, positive, is 14.5 million euros. We had to invest in inventories. We are trying to sell plasma as much as we can, and so we built up our working capital by 45.8 million, had paid interest and taxes in an amount of 6.2 million, so that the cash flow from operating activities resulted in a minus 37.5 million. Now, what can you expect for the whole year, the total year 2020? We have given a guidance in March, end of March of this year, and have confirmed it for the first time in the August 2020. Now we can say that we are very confident, you know, that the sales in 2020 will be 10% higher than in 2019, and that despite the additional efforts in those COVID R&D projects, we should be able to limit the loss due to this investment, especially investment in B&L, to a minus 10 million as EBIT figure, which was always in our guidance, as I said, since beginning of the year. Of course, we hope that the actual lockdown and shutdown activities will not have a negative impact on the value chain, you know, of the delivery chains of products and raw material. So if we continue in the way we have done our business and conducted our business in the last three, 4 months, then this minus 10 million will be the outcome. Otherwise, if we see a disruption of delivery chains, for instance, then of course it might get worse. Having said that, what's going on with COVID, I would return to the activities we have in this field. Also some of you have been with us for the last conference call know that our efforts to cope with COVID-19 has started with collecting of plasma from recovered donor COVID-19 patients, sorry, because those COVID-19 patients, of course, are producing antibodies, and then if we collect plasma from those COVID-19 patients or former COVID-19 patients, we have then plasma enriched with those antibodies against COVID-19 virus. Biotest Hungary, our Hungarian subsidiary, has been officially asked by the Hungarian government to collect such plasma in order to use this plasma as direct treatment method for COVID-19 patients in Hungary. Some of you will recall that even the almost former U.S. President, President Trump, announced that there's a big progress that now FDA has approved this treatment with plasma collected from recovered COVID-19 patients. To be honest, it's not the most efficient way to treat COVID-19 patients because the number of antibodies you give with one plasma donation is very low, and you would need 20-25 of those plasma donations in order to get to a significant antibody level, which will really help such patients with COVID-19 disease. We are concentrating on two other approaches. The one is the development of a new hyperimmunoglobulin. We call it CovidTech 10%, which is immune globulin specially enriched with a concentration or a higher concentration of antibodies against COVID-19 viruses. This development we are doing together with alliance of other plasmablin producers, and I will introduce them to you in a minute. Third approach is that we accelerate the development of trimodulin, our IgM immunoglobulin concentrate, in order to cure COVID patients with a more severe course of the disease and to prevent that they had to be mechanically ventilated, and that we then could reduce the number of days in the hospital if they get early enough trimodulin. use of convalescent plasma I've already described, as it is outlined on page 15. And I would jump immediately to page 16, describing a little more the background for this COVID-19 hyperimmunoglobulin development. The basis of this development is the plasma donations containing COVID-19 antibodies, and we develop it globally together with the other huge plasma protein producers, as you can see on page 17 of our presentation. The founders of this alliance have been CSL Behring and Takeda, but we, together with LFB and Octa Pharma, are, you know, the next members participating in this alliance. But you see also other smaller companies like ATMA, like BPL, like Green Cross Pharma, the Korean plasma protein producer, Zanguin, the Dutch company, and others. And then you see supporters with well-known names like Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and MSN. They have helped the campaign, especially in North America, in order to raise the awareness for the need to donate or to collect plasma from convalescent COVID-19 patients, and they have been very helpful in supporting us in this alliance. Why do we do that together? Because we need this plasma convalescent COVID-19 patients, and therefore it should be a joint effort of all of us and not a competing effort. Together also, we have agreed on one study design for this new drug development and have approached FDA and EMA to get a blessing for this study for this new plasma protein product. We have received that approval of that study in the United States, and they are already the study with roughly 500 patients, which shall be included, you know, in the next 2 months more, you know, will give us then, in the end, conditional approval for this hyperimmunoglobulin with an enriched titer level of COVID-19 antibodies. While we do that together with the other companies, we are concentrating with our IgM concentrate trimodulin called, you know, on a special approach to COVID-19 patients, because, you know, trimodulin is designed to treat patients with a severe community-acquired pneumonia. And if you look to COVID patients, you see almost the same symptoms, you see the same disease. They have pneumonia, they have a high inflammation rate, and therefore, we think that trimodulin will be able to help them in a very significant way, and therefore we have agreed with EMA, the European Drug Agency, that we would initiate such a study with COVID-19 patients. We need 160 patients and treat them with trimodulin, and are very confident that we can prove and get to the same results as we had them with the phase 2B study when we used trimodulin in the treatment of patients with severe community-acquired pneumonia. As you can see on page 19, we have submitted the clinical trial application, CTA, in 4 different states, in Brazil, in Russia, in Spain, and in France. We haven't done that in Germany because when we applied for this study, the number of patients in German hospitals were still very low. So we went to Spain, France, Brazil, and Russia. The study is approved in Russia, Spain, and in Brazil, and the French are still looking into our file, and we expect also the approval there within the next weeks. We have started already with recruitment of patients in Spain, and the first patients have been treated in Spain already, so that you can see as on the timetable on page 19 that depending on the further recruitment, you know, we might be finished with a recruitment of 160 patients in the first quarter of 2021. You may ask the question, why does it take so long to get there? Because there are now more and more patients again on the intensive care units. But imagine, you know, we are in the meantime at a status again that, you know, the hospitals are really filled with patients on the ICU units, and therefore in such a situation of emergency to include patients in a study is more burdensome for clinics and hospitals, so that they really prefer to do the normal treatment and not, you know, do this special extra effort of, you know, documenting everything, inform them adequately, get their consent to get included in the study and things like that. So therefore, you know, if the huge numbers of patients being treated in intensive care units will continue, you know, the recruitment of those patients in the study will be slower. On page 20, you see the details of the study, which we call S-COVID, Escape from Severe COVID-19 Disease. Explained already where we have filed for the study, to start the study, and the 160 adult patients I've also mentioned before. If we are successful in this phase 2 study and get the conditional approval to distribute trimodulin for COVID-19 patients, then of course one of the conditions will be that we still conduct a phase 3 study. We have already designed a phase 3 study called Escape from Severe Community Acquired Pneumonia, but we will now include also especially COVID-19 patients. Will enlarge the study by those special COVID-19 patients, and we'll start with this phase 3 study as soon as we have data from the phase 2 study with COVID-19 patients. Talking about the commercial aspects of trimodulin, you know, more than 80,000 patients per year are suffering under severe community-acquired pneumonia worldwide. Of course, you know, our production capacity would not be big enough to treat all those 80,000 patients. If we look at the patients which would be or could be treated with our trimodulin volumes we are able to produce in our BioTech Next Level facility, then we could reach a sales potential of 300 million and more especially then if the data are so nice that, of course, you know, everybody will try to get trimodulin, and pricing will be attractive also for us as producer. And with that, I would conclude the description of the activities we are currently have started to cope with COVID-19 crisis and virus, and with Monica to continue with the other R&D activities we are currently pursuing, IgG next generation and then fibrinogen.
So, this is Monica speaking. Well, as you know, we are developing, especially for the BioTest Next Level expansion project, new products, and the most important product we have is an immunoglobulin. It's the follow-up product for Infratect. Here we have conducted phase 3 studies, one in PID and in ITP. Both the studies are completed. They are in the review status, and we're waiting for the product and the data to be finalized and to be handed in to the competent authorities. The next project we do work on is fibrinogen. In fibrinogen, we do look at two different indications. One is the congenital fibrinogen deficiency. Here we have completed the phase 1-3. Are waiting for final results in the fourth quarter, so this quarter this year. This is actually the largest clinical trial in congenital fibrinogen, which was confirmed, and we have seen good data on efficacy and on safety. Another trial we are conducting is phase 3 in acquired fibrinogen deficiency. This is a much more complicated trial, and we're looking at a high blood loss during elective spinal surgery. And as you can imagine, due to corona situation, we do have a slower development here, but this is also a very important clinical trial for us. The fibrinogen market as such is a developing market, it's a growing market, and due to the fact that we do have a better point of care diagnostics and treatments, changes in treatment concepts, we are very positive on this movement of the fibrinogen development. Looking at our raw material and the plasma collection centers, as you know, we do have 22 plasma collection centers in Germany, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. We are looking at new possibilities to open new centers. And as you know, plasma as a raw material is a very, very precious material. We have millions of people who need medicines based on plasma, where there are no other treatment options available. And, of course, people who have experienced corona or COVID-19 infection and go for plasma donation after their infection, this is, of course, as Michael mentioned before, very special plasma for us in order to gain the antibodies for treatment options for for corona. Looking at and finally at our expansion project, Biotest Next Level, we have had a challenging time in this year. We have had the second expansion of the regional council in Darmstadt, which is in German the Regierungspräsidium Darmstadt, in the second quarter, and this all went fine, and even due to or in corona times, which was much more difficult. And we have had a partial third inspection just now in October this year, and we're continuing the engineering runs 2 and 3 at this point in time, looking at transfer batches, cleaning validation, and process validation. So all in all, we're running smoothly. Also in these corona times, we're trying to keep infections down in the company. We're working remotely. We're keeping distance, and we hope that we can continue this further and keep the production, which is most important, running, and just be careful in everything we do. So with this, we've come to the end of this small presentation. We would like to now start, Simon, the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question over the phone at this time, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off just to allow your signal to reach our equipment. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is *1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a brief moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll now move to our first question over the phone, which will come from a Dennis Berzanhin from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Dennis Berzanhin from Pareto Securities. So the first question I have is on just a general question on revenue development, revenue growth. You had, very solid performance in Q3, 7%, and more importantly, for 9 months, you're still up 15% revenue growth. At the same time, in the Q3 report, you pointed out some lower demand for immunoglobulins and hyperimmunoglobulins, because of COVID-19, of course. So I just want to, get some more color on, what are the major drivers that are, more than offsetting this demand? Is it pricing? Are there other factors? And in particular, you also recorded very strong growth in East and South Europe. So I'm just curious to see what's driving that.
Thank you very much for the question. indeed, we have seen a nice growth. We have seen different developments. We are on the one hand side due to postponed surgeries, a lower demand, especially in Central Europe for the immunoglobulin, for Intratect, for instance. We had seen at the beginning of the year in March and April a higher demand for pentaglobin, which is also an IgM concentrate. It was used to treat COVID-19 patients in Italy to a larger extent. Then don't forget, we have been able for the first time to sell albumin to China. We have done that in the first quarter, and we have sent a second shipment in September of this year. That has definitely helped us to have this spike in sales, you know, compared to last year. And we see that, and therefore our guidance is more directed to the 10% plus and not to the 50% plus as we have it at the end of the nine-month period, because we see now in October that their sales are significantly lower. So the restart of this kind of closing down of hospitals in order to be prepared for treating COVID-19 patients has led to a significant reduction of orders. So therefore, unfortunately, I cannot confirm that this wonderful growth of 15% will be continued in the fourth quarter. So, in summary, additional albumin sales for the first time in China, high plasma toll manufacturing activities during the summer months, and then a lower demand for immunoglobulins balanced partly by an increase of revenues with pentaglobin in the start of the COVID-19 times.
Okay, I appreciate the insight, and, you know, especially the, you know, the color on the October sales, and so that definitely makes sense. I just want to switch now to talk about, a little bit about the EBIT margin performance. So for Q3 specifically, you know, we calculate adjusted EBIT margin of around 10% or so, which is a little bit of a decline from last period, Q3 of 19. So just wanted to understand, you know, what's driving that. And in terms of Trimodulin, I know you're adding back, of course, a lot of D&L expenses, including Trimodulin. Are you also adding back the expenses that are related to COVID-19 development for Trimodulin, or are those not added back? Thank you.
First of all, I cannot really follow your calculation, because if I calculate our adjusted EBIT and the corresponding revenues, I see an increase. But nevertheless, it is only a small one. It's more maybe a calculation due to the point of time we are doing that. We see on the one hand side, of course, higher prices for plasma being paid. You are aware probably, or you know, that despite we have good news in Germany, Hungary, and Czech Republic, that in our plasma collection centers, you know, volumes are up again. But the situation is completely different in the United States. And therefore, if you need on short notice so-called spot volumes of plasma, you have to pay in the meantime plasma prices which are 30 to 35% higher than in the beginning of 2020. So we see an increase in in plasma pricing on the one hand side, and on the other side, we have seen to some extent also higher prices in the immunoglobulin side. But unfortunately, as you know, we are not selling in the United States, where we have seen such a price increase, and this price increase has not went to Europe up to now. So therefore, this tendency will prevail, I guess, for the next 6 months, that maybe prices will go up in the United States, you know, faster than in other countries, in other regions of the world. With regard to Trimodulin, we have started this COVID, S-COVID trial, but and have indeed, you know, added to the small amounts we have paid for the starting of the trial in the total development cost of Trimodulin, so they are part of the B&L Trimodulin R&D expenses.
Okay, great. That was helpful. Thank you very much. I'll jump back in here.
Thank you.
Just as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question on today's call. We'll now move to our next question over the phone, which comes from a private investor, Mr. Hans Christoph Reif. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Mr. Ramroth, I have a question concerning the adjustment on receivable. Could you tell us the background on this? The second question is on the report of the factor 8 molecule. I'm not an expert, but when I read this, I think it is a revolution for your sector. And could you tell us how expensive will this trial? And the third question is about trimodulin. You told us that you will finish the study in the first quarter next year. Is this the finishing of the recruitment, or get we the data in the first quarter? And if it's not the case, could you tell us how long do you think it's the time between the end of the recruitment and the publishing of the data? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Reed, for your threefold question here. First of all, the recruits we had to write off had been schools out of the Middle East. As you can imagine, in those times, it's very hard, you know, for a customer or us to send money, especially in the hard currency. And we have seen here, despite the promises to pay our invoices, that those promises had not been fulfilled. So we have written down the accounts receivables accordingly. With regard to the factor 8 development, we are just at the very, very beginning of this new compound we have here in our R&D pipeline. And frankly, we have really not enough resources and money to really accelerate this development. So therefore, the amounts we are spending here are pretty low. It's a range of 1 million for this year. So you can see that's not really a clinical study. Preclinical trials we are conducting and can afford, you know, with such a limited budget for this development. I share your view that it's a very promising development, but, you know, we have to get BNL flying and running, and so we have to concentrate on that. On top of that, we have the special COVID-19 activities as seen. Yeah, with regards to the question, what is end of Q1 happening next year, we hope that, you know, recruitment will accelerate in the coming weeks and months, that we may be end of January have recruited all patients, but that's really optimism. So this Q1 deadline refers more to our current expectation, you know, that we have then recruited all patients. The treatment is very short. It's, you know, just one week. And then since it's relatively small number of patients, you know, we should have data available within 8 to 9 weeks after the last patients have been included, because we don't have a long observation period thereafter, so that indeed, you know, we have a very fast assessment of the results. And we have agreed with the EMA, and they are really very helpful in those times, that we can, you know, we don't have to wait till everything is ready and submit them the file for approval, the application for conditional approval, because so we can really send them, you know, data as soon as are available. So we don't have to wait till the final study report is finalized and finished. As soon as the first data have been openly accessible, because it's a placebo-controlled, double-blind a trial, you know, as soon as the data are obvious or can be checked by everyone, we would share those data with the authorities already in order to accelerate the process of granting us the conditional approval. On top of that, you know, we might even be able to get a special permission in Germany. There is this special authorization in Bundesseuchengesetz. You know, if there's really an extreme emergency, then you can already treat patients with such a product as long as first clinical data are available and showing safety and efficacy. So in parallel to the filing with the EMA, there might be a possibility to use it already in Germany for COVID-19 patients.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We'll now move to our next question over the phone, which comes from a Santos Flaesios from Polygon. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Hope you're well. I had a few questions. I was wondering whether you can tell us something about the what we can expect in terms of R&D expenses for next year. So I understand you still have to do your following fibrinogen study as well as continuing with the trimodulin studies. But I was wondering whether you already have a budget of how much you need to spend on those next year. Also, I wanted to know, you know, on your phase 3 ESCAPE study for trimodulin, when you think this one is going to start, whether you have any visibility or if you're going to wait until you have to, you know, the other data from the S-COVID study. And also, just wanted to clarify something on your BNL timeline. Obviously, you say that you will hopefully have the production permit, I guess, Q1 2021. How does the ramp up of this facility look like within 2021?
Yeah, Simon, thank you very much. And I can confirm that we are doing fine here and are well off. I hope you too. With regard to the budget, R&D budget for next year, it's not settled yet, as you can imagine, but you can foresee that the R&D expenses, you know, will be in the same range as this year, because, you know, we have to continue our phase 3 studies in acquired fibrinogen deficiency. We are have this COVID, S-COVID study running, and we would like to start the ESCAPE study, the phase 3 study for trimodulin. So you can count, you know, for this R&D expense in the magnitude of 50 to 60 million again in 2021. And having said that, we plan to start with the ESCAP study, a phase 3 study for trimodulin also in 2021. The late start is due to the fact that we, as I explained, add an arm with COVID-19 patients, and in order to do that, we can, of course, only then provide an adequate clinical design for this kind of patients in the study if we have the phase 2 study, the S-COVID study results available. So that's the reason why we really wait with ESCAPE till we have the data from S-COVID study. Production with BNL, the approval for Herstellerlaubnis in German, the manufacturing license, so if to call, we will get in Q1 in next year. Then we can start producing the consistency patches, you know, in order to get a marketing license, market authorization for biological products. You have to prove that you are not only have a safe product produced in a new factory at the day one after this new product has left your manufacturing plant, but you have to put this biological product on stability for 3, 6, and 9 months. And only if you have provided data to the authority that even after 3, 6, and 9 months, the product is still as efficient and safe as it has been the very first day after the production, then you will get the product license or the market authorization. And therefore, you know, it will be a decision of Biotest in Q1 to start already the production, even without having the market authorization. So we'll probably start to produce IgG next generation at risk, because, you know, when we start ramping up the facility, we will not have the market authorization of the authorities at that point in time, but in order to use the plant in the most efficient way, we would start already with the production, and therefore you see also this ramp up or this increase in working capital, because starting with production in B&L, we need plasma, and you know the long throughput time for our products. We have to start buying plasma already this year, and then of course in the first half of 2021, in order to really accelerate the production or the beginning of the production in B&L in 2021.
Yeah. So the first sales are not going to be, I guess, before 2022 then, probably.
End of 2021, depending on how fast the authorities are working and granting us the marketing authorization. Otherwise, it'll be the beginning of 2022, yes.
Yeah. And do you have enough money to do this working capital ramp-up within your current facilities?
It's like in private life, you have never enough money.
Never.
So if you want an address for sending us a check, Landsteiner Straße 3 in Dreieich. Every contribution.
I'd be happy to for the right reasons, but does your current facility again provide you enough money to be able to do this in a safe manner or not really?
Santos, you know that we have agreed a financing package 1 year ago, and that out of the 240 million, we have drawn 100 million, so 140 million are left to be drawn to finance this ramp up and the build up. And of course, on top of that, we have the cash flow out of the existing recurring business. So those together are hopefully sufficient. But as I said, in my previous talk here, that for instance, the new Factor VIII development has been slowed down. We could immediately resume the development of a subcutaneous IVIG, sorry, and to have other ideas in pipeline. That's the reason why I said we never have enough money.
Sure.
But you have to manage to come along with the resources you have. That's where we go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
It appears there are no further questions queued over the phone at this time. Ms. Buchreit, I'd like to hand the call back over to yourself for any additional closing remarks, ma'am.
So thank you very much for your good questions. Thank you very much for listening in. If we do have news, as usual, we will send out press releases, and otherwise we will see you or hear you again on March 31st for the full year results. I'd like to wish everyone good autumn season and stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.